The following program is a PodcastOne.com production.
From Hollywood, California, by way of the Broken Skull Ranch, this is the Steve Austin Show.
Give me a hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Now, here's Steve Austin.
All right, everybody, welcome to the Steve Austin Show. I got a hell of a surprise for you. Hello, I'm not coming to you from the mean streets of Los Angeles, California right now. I'm coming to you by way of South Texas, Rockport, Texas, to be specific. And to be even more specific than that, at the Casa de la Fowler. You're asking me, what in the hell is the Casa de la Fowler? I'm at Ted Fowler's crib, my buddy down at the Broken Skull Ranch, at Ted Fowler361 on Twitter. You know the man. Teddy, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing good.
We're sitting right here in your house, and I'm telling you, welcome to the show. I appreciate you letting me and my wife in here. Kristen, how are you today?
Great.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
I tell you what, I want to start the show off today, Kristen, talking about our little RV trip, because I said on the Steve Austin Show a couple of days back that you and I was going to take the dogs out to the RV park right outside of Los Angeles and get out there away from all the noises that would, you know, come with the 4th of July, because our black lab, Shona, cannot stand listening to all the explosions. So I went out to the RV place, got our RV, drove it in a driveway, and we packed that thing to the gills with all our stuff that we was going to camp out for 2.5 days, wait till all the explosions died down, and then come back into the city. So there we go. Loaded up, just like a Swiss Family Robinson, going on a little voyage. And we pulled into a little RV spot in Acton, California, about 10 miles down from where we filmed the illustrious Broken Skull Challenge, which just had the season premiere this past Sunday on CMT. More about that in a minute. So anyway, Kristen, we pull into our camping spot. I go out, hook up the sewer, hook up the electricity, turn on the air conditioner, and it's hotter than hell in that damn little bitty-ass camper.
Yeah.
And I'm starting to think we need a bigger camper. But you love that damn thing.
I love it.
No. Why do you like it? Because it's quiet and it goes down the road. We could use more square footage.
We need to spend more time outside.
What I want to invent is a little bitty camper. Well, okay, I got the little bitty camper, but I want to transformerize that thing. When I push a button, it folds out to about 2,200 square feet with a bunch of window unit air conditions anywhere. So anyway, we're sitting there, and we're on the back couch, and I'm just kind of trying to relax.
It also turns into a queen-size bed.
Yeah, the couch, you push a button, it turns into a queen-size bed. But we didn't even have time to turn it into a queen-size bed when my phone goes off and I get a text message, and it's from a person representing me down in the South Texas area, and he informs me that I must be in Rockport, Texas on Monday. Now, this happened on what, July 3rd?
Yeah, Thursday.
And so I looked at my wife and said, you're not going to believe this. We got to make that trip down to Texas. And, you know, we were trying to camp out, but we had to be in Texas. So we spent the night there at the RV park. It was hotter than blazes in the camper. The air conditioning. We got to get some window units. We got to do something.
Well, then you woke up freezing.
No, we're going to get that story in a minute. Teddy, can you install, what do you call it?
A window unit
air conditioner on the side of my RV. Get some brackets built up. I know you're not a metal guy, but you could probably make that work.
I'm sure I can.
Put a generator and hook it up to the existing generator. But I want that damn thing blowing right on my damn head as I'm driving down the road, because solar energy just pelts through this thing. They need to put some more insulation in the damn RV, because I don't think it's properly insulated, because it shouldn't have taken so long.
It took like 5 hours to cool down.
It was unbelievable. We were sitting in there sweating like just a couple of idiots, and the three dogs in there panting. So anyway, fast forward, nighttime comes. Kristen, I'm out walking the dogs, and, you know, of course, once we pulled into the RV spot, it was only like 3 p.m.
Yeah.
And so it's hotter than blazes, and it's too early to start drinking beer. So we
can't sit outside because it's too hot.
Too hot. It can't take the dogs by the swimming pool, so we couldn't even get in the water.
Yeah.
So we're sitting there like a couple of idiots. Finally, the sun goes down. Finally, I drink about 5 or 6 Sierra Nevada Torpedo Extra IPAs, and I climb up in my little, you know, that little bunk that goes over the top of the driver and the passenger
seat. Little cab over up there.
It's barely got enough room for me. I damn near need some KY jelly and a shoehorn to get in there. I climb up that little rickety ladder, and I get all snuggled in like a bed bug and go to sleep. And I woke up about 3 in the morning. freezing my ass off because we had pointed the vents on the air conditioning just to go straight forward to where I was at. Kristen was in the back burning up. So about 3 a.m. I wake up and say, Kristen. And my voice is hoarse because, I mean, I basically, it's almost like I was in Antarctica. And I was freezing. I said, Kristen, turn the damn air conditioner off. The sorry some buck, you know, after all day, it couldn't get caught up. And it ain't got a thermostat on it. So once you turn the air conditioner on, it just stays cold. But I should have just dialed it back a little bit.
But he made me get out of bed to...
Well, I mean, it would have been, you see, because when I got to back out and come down that ladder, it's very hazardous at my current weight and the dexterity within my legs, and I'm not a morning person. So for me to come down and to physically turn that air conditioning off was just, it would have been an act of God.
I had to unravel three dogs off the top of me to get to the air conditioning thing.
But anyway, it was an absolutely miserable night is what I'm saying. And we got up the next morning. I spooled up all my stuff, unplugged electricity, and we were on the road at 8:30 to go back to Los Angeles, California. So we get there, we back the RV in the driveway, unpack a damn thing, and I go down. Did I pick up your mother that night?
No, you picked her up.
Okay. So anyway, there we are. We got two TVs in our house, and they're pretty big TVs. We turned both those TVs up, Teddy, full blast. I don't remember what we was watching, but it was blasting like hell in there.
Two different channels, too.
Two different channels to try to block out the noise from Shona so she didn't go crazy. We went ahead and hit her with 1 milligram of Xanax.
We played before that.
Yeah, we played with them in a swimming pool, tried to get them all, you know, tired out. But that dog went absolutely...
As soon as she heard the first pop, forget it.
Mm.
It was over. Yeah. So our trip to Acton, California, to go out in RV and get away from the 4th of July, because I got a lot of you people asking questions about how that trip went, it sucked ass. Because I had to be in Texas. So anyway.
We didn't barbecue.
Mm. We didn't barbecue. We didn't do nothing. You had made a batch of spaghetti, and we were going to do hot dogs the next night.
Yeah.
So we did hot dogs at our house on the 4th of July.
Yeah.
And didn't pop one single firecracker. Teddy, you a firecracker guy?
No.
Okay, because I'm probably missing the point. I know I'm a cantankerous old curmudgeon. I'm 49 years old. I don't give a rat's ass. Back in the day when I was a kid, popping a firecracker was pretty cool. Lighting off a bunch of black cats or some bottle rockets or some Roman candles or something. Sparklers, running around like an idiot with a sparkler in your hand. You know, I did that until I was probably 27. Daddy, light another sparkler. Hell, son, you're 27 years old. Light that son of a bitch yourself. Anyway, so I'm not into the firecrackers anymore. And I must be an old stick in the mud, but I don't care if it's Disney putting them on. I don't give a rat's ass to watch them. You much of a firecracker guy?
No, I wouldn't go out the back door to see a fireworks display. You know, and they're legal in Texas, so there is no thrill to it. I mean, when it was illegal,
right?
You know, in Arizona, you couldn't do it, so it was kind of fun. But no, I'm not interested in that stuff.
I don't see what the big fanfare is.
Well, people like to get together and have a couple beers and watch fireworks, and they're green and they're red and they're blue and it's all that, and sometimes they put the music behind it. But anyway, it ain't my cup of tea is what I'm saying. So I just wondered if I was the only cantankerous sunbuck in the damn room or not.
No,
Teddy?
No. Nope. There's three of us.
But anyway, well, with that being said, I'm down here in Texas. I got my business taken care of. I'm ready to go. I stopped by Ted Fowler's house. Hell, Ted, we've known each other since 07, 08. About that time and all the time we've been through here in Rockport, first time we get a chance to stop by your crib. You got a hell of a compound here.
I appreciate that.
And you built this thing by hand when? A couple years back?
Oh, man, when I first got here to Texas, which would have been 05.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm 10 years.
Yeah.
Man, it is peaceful. Ted's got about 2.5-3 acres back here on a dead-end street. It's quiet. It's private. It's perfect. You got the perfect man cave here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Got a bunch of dead animals hanging on the wall. Classy people call it taxidermy, but it's cool in the gang. Hey, man, the Broken Skull Challenge debuted last night on CMT, and Teddy, you came home and got a chance to watch the show. I was sitting there doing business at the hotel, so I didn't get a chance to see the season premiere of my own show, but my Twitter account was blowing up. People said it was badass, so I got a lot of positive feedback. Did you enjoy it?
Yes, I did. Yeah,
what did you like about it?
Oh, man, just the brutal, the competition. You know what I mean? There's nothing staged. It was serious. You know, hand-to-hand combat those boys were going on.
Yeah.
You know, and man, it must have been tough for that guy to tap out at the end and say, you know, quit going on that skull buster. I mean, that would suck.
That rope whipped his ass. And I tell everybody, the way that obstacle course is laid out, the skull buster, it chips away piece by piece of your damn body. And all of a sudden, you go through that deep freeze, and you've already traversed on the...
Going up that hill.
Yeah, well, no, but before that, it's the commando cross. So you're already using a little bit of grip strength. And then you go over the walls and into the deep freeze and then Heartbreak Hill. And but when you get in that water, that water's 35 degrees. And everybody that goes into that water, I watch their face. And you get the damnedest, most crazy expressions because it just looks like water. But when they've hit eight of those elements so far and they crash into that, it's like, holy smokes, what just happened? And it really does freeze up their muscles and it totally jacks with them. And then they get on Heartbreak Hill. And you talk about an ass-kicking hill. And when you come down from that, you got to climb that 17-foot rope. Now, if you just think, oh, I can climb a rope 17-foot, maybe you can. But after you've been through nine elements, you know, previously and done had your ass whipped, it's a whole different ball game. And that kid's hands were cut up. There were blisters on them. And he said, uncle, and he tapped out. So right now, as this show goes on, I'm not going to sit here and talk about the Broken Skull Challenge all day long. But right now, it's Steve Austin's Skull Buster 1, contestants 0. 1-0. Stay tuned, Teddy. You got to check out this coming show on Sunday. It's our first episode with the women. I tell you what, I don't know what kind of game the women were going to bring. You talk about badass, and when women compete, man, they break out the dang the nails. And these chicks are badass, and they all come from whether it's MMA or Tough Mudder stuff or CrossFitting. They're tough-ass women, and they come out here because they love a challenge and they love to compete, and it's just as exciting, if not more, than the guys was. And this thing keeps building the way you're going to keep watching this. But anyway, it's a badass show. I'm glad you guys had a chance to – give me some feedback on the Twitter account, Steve Austin BSR. I'm sitting here talking with Ted Fowler, 361, here at the Casa de la Fowler in Rockport, Texas. I'm going to take a little bit of a pause for the cause here, take a little break in the action when I come back. I asked you guys on my Twitter account, Steve Austin BSR, to send me in some questions. I'm sitting here with Ted Fowler, shoot the breeze with him, talk about some random stuff going on at the Broken Skull Ranch, not challenge, and then go into some Uber facts. You guys said you want to hear some more Uber facts on my questions, SteveAustinShow.com. We're going to have more for that for you. And also, coming up this Thursday, I'm hanging with the hardcore legend, Tommy Dreamer. He came by the hotel room in New York City, and we had an absolute blast hanging out in a little bitty hotel room that was about the size of a cracker box, sitting side by side looking out at the theater district of New York City. We was huddled up so damn close, I thought they was going to have to bring a shoehorn in here to pry us apart. But I had a great time hanging out with Tommy Dreamer, and he's coming up Thursday, and you do not want to miss this conversation. I'm coming right back to answer Q&As.
The Steve Austin Show. The Steve Austin Show.
Guys, 4th of July is coming up, and it's time to invite everyone over for your barbecue cookout. Lay on the steaks, the chickens, the pork chops, and we have the grilling tool to make sure your food comes out perfectly. Meter is a sleek Bluetooth meat thermometer that keeps an eye on your food and lets you know when it's ready to come off the grill. It'll even give you a countdown for the cook so you know how many more beers you can kick back before you have to get back to grilling. We haven't had barbecue get-togethers for 2 years now, so don't mess it up now that we're back. Impress your guests. Super simple, super easy, perfect results. And I'm telling you, nothing is better than having something watch the barbecue for you, because it's hard to entertain your guests and also be kind of a barbecue hawk and make sure the meat comes out perfectly, which is kind of, you know, going to be one of the marks on whether or not it was a good barbecue or not. How'd the food come out? I don't know. Sean burnt it again. Not this time. I got the meter. It can be used in a grill, smoker, oven, sous vide cooking, air fryer, rotisserie, literally anywhere. It comes with cloud service, so you have limitless range, so you can still monitor the barbecue while watching TV or running to the store really quick. This is the perfect tool to up your grilling game this season. So, get 10% off with code Steve at meter.com. That's 10% off on M-E-A-T-E-R.com with code Steve. It's barbecue season. Get grilling with Meter.
All right, everybody's in here with Ted Fowler, my illustrious wife, who's going to chime in on the background. Before we start going into the Q&A's, Ted, you just got back from the Broken Skull Ranch. Give me a status report on all systems. Did you get any mowing done, shredding, repairs, killing rats?
I was able to mow by the house, started filling feeders, but had a rain out. Killed one rat while I was there, got it with the mower.
You killed a rat with the mower?
Yeah.
The lawnmower or the shredder?
No, the shredder. Shredder. Yeah, it's
now,
kind of interesting.
How did that transpire? Don't you put in road gear and ran him down?
No. You know, we didn't have the shredder hooked up on the back of the John Deere.
Right.
So I wanted to do some, you know, different mowing with that rather than the big bat wing. So
yeah.
I hooked it up and I pulled it over to where the big tree is in the electric panel because I was going to drive over to the north fence line.
Right.
And I said, well, I need to, you know, pull the plug, make sure the PTO is hooked up and this thing takes off. Well, when I did and I engaged the mower, the rat had set up shop underneath the mower on top of the blade. And when that thing started spinning around, that son of a gun boiled out of there, and I'm right in the middle of the parking lot. So I jumped off the tractor, and I was chasing him.
Stop. No, no more, Teddy.
I swear to God, I didn't have a gun.
The rat set up shop on top of a blade. You started spinning the blade. The rat fell off due to centrifugal force, probably hit the side of the shredder, poor little guy, and then made a run for it, and there you are. And you're 6'4", 245, and you're chasing
boots.
A rat.
In my snake boots.
And you're chasing a rat in your snake boots on my ranch. How long did it take you to catch him?
Oh, I didn't. He ran into the barn where all the vehicles are, and that was it. I was hot on his tail, and he got underneath, you know, the table, and I started poking around, you know, but hell, I'm afraid that thing's going to come running out, you know, teeth.
What do you mean you're scared he's going to run at you? You got snake boots on. You think he's going to bite you on the ankle? Jump up and get you on a jugular vein.
Those guys climb. They climb.
Teddy, you're 6'5", 245. That rat, now, you know, you heard my rat facts. You can throw a rat 50 feet up in there, and he hits the ground, he's going to be fine.
Yep.
So if you chuck him up in the air, you got to go off that 50-foot mark. But he ain't going to jump on your jugular. I mean, come on.
I didn't realize that he had suffered a little internal damage from that shredder starting up because he came out of there along with a couple of rags that he had up under there, you know, for his nest.
He was running on adrenaline, pure adrenaline.
Pure adrenaline.
He was mortally injured and the guts were hanging out. Well, how bad was he injured?
Well, next morning he was toes up.
Oh, so you found him.
Yeah. Poor little guy. I found him. Yeah.
Hold on, stop. Moment of silence. Long enough. Anybody out there that works for PETA that hears this story on the Steve Austin Show, it's a true story. It actually happened. Ted Fowler, cold-blooded and maliciously took vengeance out on this rat for chewing all the damn wires up on my Polaris Rangers and my Ford Broncos. So may that sorry bastard rot in hell.
We had a very short memorial service for him.
Take me through the memorial service for this said rat.
And I grabbed him by the tail and threw him in the brush. That was it.
Swig of water. I got some Pellegrino sparkling water for the working man.
And I went to see the gator.
Oh, so tell me, we got two alligators down at a little place we call Tombstone Lake on the ranch. And only one has been seen lately. And, of course, Kristen, my wife, thinks that the other one is a female. And she's hatching her eggs. She's laying them. Okay, now Kristen has been an expert now on alligators and their habitat. Kristen, how many eggs will she lay?
50 to 70 eggs.
50 to 70 eggs. That means, Teddy, if they have a survival rate, because you got to figure some coons going to get in there.
Yep.
Something's going to be rummaging around there. Ain't going to get all of them, but we could have maybe 3, 4, 5, 6, 10 more alligators coming up here pretty quick.
Correct.
So you went down there, and I understand that you fed the one alligator that still comes up to the edge of the pond when you drive to it, a rabbit.
Yes.
What kind of rabbit was it? Cottontail or
no? Jackrabbit.
Jackrabbit.
Yeah.
Now, last time you fed the alligator a rabbit, you had found one that had died. How did you find this dead rabbit?
Same thing. That had to be the slowest rabbit in all of South Texas.
How did you find a rabbit? Don't tell me you chased a rabbit down.
No. Just he died of lead poisoning.
Lead poisoning. 22.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So what did the alligator do? Did you chuck it in the pond? Did you try to bait him up on
Threw it half in the water and half on the shore, and then I backed up with the camera. I wanted to, you know, get some stills of it, which I have, which are very cool.
Well, why don't you post those on your Twitter account?
I will. Hell, I just got home.
Well, you ain't got to get hot about it. So anyway, this is just like a National Geographic guy. Who was that guy on a Mutual of Omaha way back in the day had that show?
Marlon Perkins.
Marlon Perkins, yeah. So there you are, laid up on the Broken Skull Ranch with your camera trying to catch the little alligator coming up on the shore. Did he do it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It was cool. I mean, not for the rabbit, but
yeah,
it was cool.
How big is the gator? 4 foot, 5 foot?
Getting close to five.
Getting close to five.
Yeah. He's not shy, that's for sure. You know, I mean, as soon as I pulled up, he comes swimming right over. You know, yeah, so it was cool. It was cool.
I told Chris, and Ted joined us for some Mexican food a while ago over here at a restaurant in Rockport, Texas. I said, hell, next time we go back, Ted's going to have that thing sitting, rolling over, playing dead. We're going to have a Barnum and Bailey circus out there. Come on down to the Broken Skull Ranch. We're going to charge people $5 a pop to watch them do these tricks. We got it, Ted. You're pretty handy with a hammer and a nail. You got to build a little set of bleachers so we can get the people to come watch the alligator show over at Tombstone Lake. I'm telling you, man, we'll put up a little wrestling ring. I'll wrestle an alligator. It's going to be great. I'll call a high spot. One tackle, drop dead, hip toss, get it again. All right, I digress. I said I was going to answer some Q&As. We're going to answer some Q&As. Teddy, here we go. Well, this first one's for me here, Teddy. He says, yo, Steve, do you think Vince will ever decide to make WWE the way it was back in 98 to 2001 with loads of attitude again? Massive fan. Okay, that's coming from old Tom Dawson. Now, do I think Vince will ever decide to make it the way it was back in 98 to 2001? I don't think you should go back and make it like it was. I think you ought to work with what you got and just make it a very serious product and make the belts really mean something. There are a lot of kind of shenanigan-type storylines, and I say that with all due respect to the creative team at WWE, and I'm not nitpicking the product, but when you ask me what I like to watch, just take it back a little bit, not to the Attitude Era, but just make the belts mean something. Put out just a product that's just a little bit more serious and not too much comedy, because it seems like a lot of the writers that they hire these days always come from a comedic background. Pro wrestling and selling tickets ain't about making people laugh. If they happen to laugh while they're watching the show, that's one thing. But you're not going out there to make them laugh. If something happens organically in the vein of comedy or humor, that's fine. But anyway, I just like to see a little bit more attention to the wrestling. Call the matches. Talk about the matches that's happening in the ring. Tell a story about what's going on in the ring. And not talk about all the other stuff so much. But anyway, let me jump off that. Somebody asked me the question. That's my answer. And once again, I'm not taking any hacks at the creative team. That's my vision of the world of professional wrestling. Check it out. Teddy, here's a UFC question. You watch this as well as I do. I'm assuming you watched the UFC pay-per-view this weekend. How impressed were you with Ronda Rousey and Chris Weidman? And do you think there's anyone out there that can beat them right now? That comes from old Kyle M. Teddy, you take that over. How impressed were you? Let's talk about Ronda Rousey first.
Very impressed.
Alexis Davis.
Not so much.
Man, she had a tough day at the office. Didn't know that the thing was going to go 16 seconds. I knew Alexis was going to have a little bit of a problem, but just because I didn't think she was that athletic. But I heard she had a strong jiu-jitsu background. But I'll tell you what, they started locking horns, and Ronda Rousey has really improved her hands. All of a sudden, kind of caught her with a shot, caught her with a knee to the liver, hit her with that hip toss. Oh, my God. And then just had her locked up and started grounding, pounding. And after about, I think it was about punch number 7 or 8, the Alexis got knocked out. And I think it was Eve Levine, whoever it was, but made a real good stoppage because she was out.
Yeah, she was way out. I thought she would weather the first round. I mean, we'd spoken before the fight started, and I thought she would at least make it through the first round. You know, I thought there'd be a kind of a feeling out period, and, you know. But, Lordy, 16 seconds, yeah, that was brutal.
Okay, so that being said, do you think there's anyone out there that can beat them right now? And here's the thing, I'm real up to speed with MMA, but I'm not too up to speed with all the top 10 contenders in the women's division at that 135-pound, bantamweight, whatever it is, just the women's division. So I don't know all of the contenders, but she was the number 2-ranked contender going in, and she got smoked.
Yeah, if that's your number two, no. I'm not, you know, really smartened up on who's who in the women's division.
Right.
But no, I don't think anybody can beat her. I think, you know, there's probably a couple of guys that couldn't beat her.
I'll tell you what, man, again, she goes out there with that BMF walk. Her mindset is so far advanced through all the other people that she's faced so far in the octagon, and she sets the tone with that walk, and once they say, let's get it on, I mean, she is all business, and she's
right.
got a mean streak. It's 3 feet wide, and it's a mile long, and she's probably the sweetest person in the world outside the octagon, but inside that octagon, mister, she's going to take care of business, and she puts pressure on herself, and she says that she can't fail. She holds herself to a very high standard, and I tell you what, she's a very special fighter, and she, chicks like her, women like her, or fighters like her don't always come around, especially, I mean, and it's interesting because of now with women's MMA. I mean, she's setting a benchmark.
A very high benchmark. You know what I like about her? When they do the intro, get them together at the center of the ring, and the official says, if you guys want to touch gloves, now's the time. They do. They go back to their corner. As soon as they ring the bell, she comes out swinging. There's no more, you know, because we spoke about that too, how, you know, they always come out and start the round after the round started by touching gloves. No, she ain't having none of that.
Yeah, but to that point, when she goes out, she is very respectful, and she's just
she's a fighter.
Yeah.
She is a fighter.
The crowd really started cheering her, 16-second, you know, stoppage, and she's kind of been playing a little bit of the heel. So in your mind now, is she more of a babyface Ronda or still kind of in that 50-50 mode but just goes with the flow? She seemed to enjoy those cheers, I mean, she's very humble on the mic, but I think she was enjoying the cheers. But to that point, I don't think she cares. She's all about taking care of her business in the ring, and that's all she sets out to do.
I'm with you. I don't think she cares that much, but I do think it plays on her.
Yes,
you know, that people boo her. You know, but yeah, I mean, it was kind of nice to see her smile a little bit. But
by
the same token, you don't want her to get all nilly-willy.
Well, I don't think she's just gonna go. Okay, I'm a baby face now and say that. But I think she'll play it as it goes, take it as it comes. And either way, I mean, she's got movies lined up. I mean, she's got endorsements lined up. She's mainstream as hell. She's a superstar, and she's a badass.
Yeah.
And she's a very, very pretty woman. But just supremely talented, and you know, her mother being an Olympic, what was it, silver medalist or bronze medalist back in the day? But I mean, she's tough as nails,
right?
So tough. It's tough for me to see anybody beating her. Moving around real quick, let's go to Chris Weidman taking on Lyoto Machida. I really thought, since you know Lyoto Machida was former light heavyweight champion, that he had a real good chance. If anybody was going to beat Chris Weidman, that maybe he had a chance. Now I was Weidman all the way. But certainly, you know, there was a couple of moments in there where Lyoto looked pretty good, and especially in that one round, kind of had Weidman teed up a little bit. But Weidman was dominant in the fight. He took him down, I think, five times, and Weidman's a real badass. People that saw him coming back in the day, and he's here now, and he took that title from Anderson Silva. Then, you know, on the rematch, Silva broke his leg when he checked that kick.
Right.
He was kryptonite for Silva. And Lyoto Machida gave him a lot of respect going into this fight, and certainly he earned his respect within the fight because he totally dominated that fight.
I think that guy's tough as nails as well. You know, Machida's more the veteran, obviously,
right.
A little older, got more experience. But once again, you know, he ran into a buzzsaw with that kid. You saw how marked up his face was, you know.
And he's hard to hit.
Oh, yeah. You know, Weidman didn't have any problem.
No, yeah, he didn't. but I think another couple of championship fights like this, and I think Weidman will be a household name. And he's a star now, and he's a great kid, and he's a stud in the octagon. Obviously, his present is now, and the future is very bright for him. But another two or three, you know, wins like this, and absolutely he'll be on everybody's minds as far as, you know, who and what he is. Mm-hmm. He's a can of whoop-ass waiting to happen inside of an octagon. All right, here we go. Moving along, getting out of UFC and MMA stuff. Hey, Steve, my name is Matt, and I'm from Blackburn, England. Just wondered where the UK folks can watch the Broken Skull Challenge, because we don't get CMT. Big fan. I love the podcast. Thanks, Matt. Matt, that's the thing. I don't know why the UK don't get CMT. That's a bunch of BS. I know you guys are just now getting Redneck Island, and we've done three seasons of it. So hopefully you guys will enjoy Redneck Island, and we'll see what happens with the Broken Skull Challenge. I wanted to go ahead and address your question because, man, I tell you what, I get so many emails from people over in England who are big fans of the show. So I appreciate you guys supporting the show and listening to it. And I wanted to answer your question on air. I don't know when you guys will be able to see the Broken Skull Challenge over there across the pond. All right, moving right along. All right, here we go. Here's a question coming from George. Hey, Steve, I dig the podcast and really love the season premiere Broken Skull Challenge. I'm a listener from day one and a fan from Attitude Era. I love the UFC as well as WWE like you and wondered if I could get your take on something. If WWE and Ronda Rousey ever do business together, what challenges would she face making the transition? She's an amazing fighter, but the world of professional wrestling requires a different skill set. Well, I think Ronda Rousey, because right now there's already rumors of her appearing at SummerSlam in some capacity, but obviously it wouldn't be in any fighting capacity or any action capacity. First off, she has a tremendous cut that we saw on her thumb that she suffered in that fight against Alexis Davis, and I don't know what she did to get that cut, but I mean, because she was pounding her so hard, I guess that skull of Alexis Davis must have cut her hand.
She hit something.
But it was stitched up, so I think she's going to be out of commission. But anyway, I really don't think that she's going to be doing anything with WWE, especially anything that regards performing in the ring. With her background, and it's kind of funny because you remember, Teddy, when Ken Shamrock made a transition from UFC into WWE?
Yes.
You remember that pretty vividly? I mean, that was a guy who was, at that time, the most dangerous guy on the planet.
Correct.
And I thought Ken did a hell of a job at going into a worked environment. But it was back in the day. You know, it was over 10 years ago. I think now with what the game is in the business of pro wrestling and with it regards to where the UFC's at, I don't see her making that transition. And also, she's just so successful right now in the UFC with her fights, her movies, her endorsements. I just don't see anything like that happening. Do you see or could you see Ronda Rousey thriving or sticking around in a professional wrestling environment?
No. And the reason being, you know, and I don't know who I'll offend with this one, I don't think she's not that nice. She can't play that nice like the divas do. You know what I mean? That chick is bad. She's mean. She wants to beat people up. That's what she does.
Right.
My opinion, professional wrestling has gotten away from that and more towards the theatrics and the smiles and stuff like that. And I don't think, you know, I don't think that plays to Ronda Rousey's strength.
Well, again, I mean, she's just kind of whoop-ass.
Oh, yeah.
And she doesn't play well with others. And there's, with all due respect to the divas, because I love them all. I love anybody that gets in that squared circle and performs in the business of professional wrestling. But, I mean, she's a different animal. It doesn't work because you know it's a work. And so if Ronda's not out there just totally smoking someone with an armbar,
yeah,
with her skills, you can't buy into it like you could back in the day.
No.
Window has closed.
Yeah, somebody's going to pull her hair, she's going to hit them right in the mouth, and that'll be
it. Well, you know, but if you took the business back 10 to 15 years.
Yeah.
Then, you could.
She would have fit right in.
But it also depends on, you know, who you would have had in a ring. I mean, she could have done business with China. She could have done business with a person like Sherry Martel, had Sherry Martel been younger. But people that were that had more physicality.
Correct.
And again, I say that with all due respect to the diva. And I mean this in a positive regard, just a totally unique animal. And she thrives inside an octagon.
Correct.
Let's move it on. Anyway, and that's props for Ronda Rousey, Rowdy Ronda Rousey. All right, here we go. Steve, have you finally been able to get at Ted Fowler 361 to have the rats tested for PEDs? Love the podcast. Shane Underwood down there in Dundee, Florida. Teddy, we got a problem with these rats down to Broken Skull. And I tell you what, they've been eating the Broncos, eating the Polaris's. The other day, I was on the cameras. There was a rat popping a wheelie on my Kawasaki KLX 450. He was riding without a helmet. He was tearing all my stuff up. Were you able to get some of these rats down to the scientific testing station to get them tested for PEDs? Have you been able to accomplish this task yet? Because people want to know, Teddy. They keep sending in questions at steveaustinshow.com, and they want to know these hard-hitting questions. Are the rats at the Broken Skull Ranch indeed using steroids? That's right. I'll go ahead and say the word. Let's call it what it is. Human growth hormone, EPO, testosterone, decadurabolin, dianabol, Anavar, halotestin, and a draw. Teddy, what's the answer?
We drew a little blood out of that one, but I didn't think to have it tested, so I'm unable to answer at this time.
I'm going to tell you what, though. As soon as I get down there, I'm planning on going back down to the ranch in about 2 or 3 weeks. And last time I got down there, I opened the garage doors to the pavilion where we keep our power rack and all of our weightlifting equipment. And we've got that power rack and from Elite FTS, some of the best makers of weightlifting equipment in the United States. Check out EliteFTS.com. But anyway, there was a 405 on the bench. And so I know you don't bench 405. So, and it wasn't me. So there's a rat down there at the Broken Skull Ranch benching 405 pounds. Now, I don't know if that's for a one rep maximum or he's pushing that thing for 10 reps. And that's what really scares me. A rat that bench presses 405 pounds one time is bad. If he's hitting fives with that, that son of a bitch is going to be really deadly. What do you think, Teddy?
It wasn't me.
Is it possible, Teddy, for a rat to bench press 405 pounds?
We got some big ones. I don't know if they can go 405. Not without a spotter.
there's enough rats out there to spot that rat. And is he wearing, you know what? Mark Bell sent me one of those slingshots. I wonder if that rat was laying on my bench at 405 pounds using my slingshot by Mark Bell. If you guys ain't seen the slingshot, go to Mark Bell's supertraining.tv website and check out the slingshot. It's a good way to improve your bench and get you out of a rut. I love mine. I just want to know if a dirty, filthy, low-down, sorry-ass rat is wearing my slingshot in there bench pressing 405 pounds on my goddamn Elite FTS workout cage.
Well, I'll set up.
I don't know what I'm thinking, Kristen. You got the cameras going in there in the pavilion. Did you get on the damn camera system and see if there's a rat bench pressing 405?
Okay, that means no.
When my wife says to move on, that means we're beating a dead rat. But oops, here we go, moving on down the road. Hey, but to answer your question, seriously, we haven't had any of the rats tested. I have heard word on the street through one of the dirt sheets that one of the rats that's coming from the southwest corner down there is training for this year's Tour de France. So stay tuned to see how the rat from the Broken Skull Ranch does in the Tour de France. Here we go. Hey, Steve, why did you never actually wear the belt? It was either slung on your shoulder or just held. I've always been curious. Keep up the good work. And that's coming from David down there in Manchaca, Texas. Manchaca. I guess he's talking about the championship belt, the gold, whether it be the Intercontinental title, the World Heavyweight title, or tag team title. I tell you what, I just never thought wearing them was cool. Now, when I was in WCW, I believe I wore the belt a couple of times. And when I first came into WWF as a ringmaster, I think I wore that one a couple of times, but that belt, that $1 million belt that Ted DiBiase used to wear that I brought in with me when Vince brought me in as a ringmaster and I came in as a champion, as he sold me on the idea of, was a real hunk of crap. I mean, it looked pretty and had all them little rhinestones on it, but it would bust so easy. If you just barely dropped it from like a foot and put it on the mat, it would start breaking off into little bitty pieces. And those little dollar signs would go flying everywhere. So it looked like $1 million. It performed like $3. So that was a piece of crap. But anyway, the other belts as far as going down there, you know, Stone Cold Steve Austin came down in the ring to whoop a man's ass. And he sent out that message with the BMF walk. Y'all know what the BMF walk stands for. And I just thought it looked cool dragging that thing in my hand or putting it on my shoulder. And that's the way I conducted my business. And if you got in my way, I would wear your ass out with that damn belt. Anyway, hey, I'm sitting here at the Casa de la Fowler with Ted Fowler 361. We're going to come right back after this, answer some more questions. Appreciate you guys giving me all the feedback on my Twitter account, Steve Austin BSR, on the Broken Skull Challenge. I hear that it was a big success on Sunday. Check out all the replays and go to CMT.com to check out all that stuff. And if you hadn't set your DVR to record the whole season, hey, don't be bashful. Help a brother out. I need all the support I can get. And, yes, there will be Broken Skull Ranch shirts coming up ASAP on the website. I'm coming right back. Take a pause for the calls and a word with our sponsors with Ted Fowler, 6-1.
The Steve Austin Show. The Steve Austin Show.
Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners' or renters' coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more. And Geico is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's simple. Go to geico.com or contact your local agent today.
The Steve Austin Show. The Steve Austin Show.
All right, everybody, here we go. Continuing on with a little bit of Q&A with Ted Fallow here in Rockport, Texas. DaCosta De La Fowler hanging out. Man, I tell you what. We went out to a little bitty Mexican food restaurant a while ago. What was that place called? Jalisco's?
Jalisco's.
Jalisco's. I always call it with a J. Jalisco's. Anytime I like, it's like when I talk about Illinois, I always put the S in there. Piss the people off that live in Illinois. Anyway, so we had a pretty good little meal a while ago. It wasn't too bad.
Correct.
But the people, it was pretty crowded in there.
At lunchtime, you know, typical small town from, 11 to 12, 12 to 1.
They got to get a liquor license, dude. I was going to get a margarita. And I said, you got margaritas? They said, yes. And I said, I'll have an extra shot of tequila on the side. And that's when the guy hit me with the punchline. He says, well, it's wine-based margarita. That ain't a margarita. So I said, no can do. Settled up for a couple of Tecates. How was your food? You have a good meal?
No, that stuff was awful.
Okay, that's a public podcast going out to Jalisco's. Ted Fowler doesn't think too much of the food over there.
Step up your game.
Well, dude, you had recommended Armando's or whatever. What was it?
Amadas.
See, but I'd passed by Jalisco so many times because we were on our way to
Los Camales.
Yeah, we were going to Los Camales.
And I forgot their clothes on Monday.
Yeah, and it was bigger than Monday. It was Monday, and they was closed like hell. Yeah. All of a sudden, I start calling you on the phone. I looked in. I got good peripheral vision. I saw you coming from 6 miles out. I'm like a hammerhead shark. Anyway, there you are in the parking lot. I looked and said, dude, this place is closed down. We got to go in there and make our own food. So when you said Orlando's or Mattis, I thought you said Jalisco's because I'd only driven by there about 16 times and pulled in there. Me and Kristen are sitting there drinking our water, eating chips, and thinking, where in the hell is Fowler? He was right behind us, like six cars.
Well, I walked into Amadas and, opened up the door and looked around, and I was like, dude, really? I ought to be able to pick this guy out in here. And then Kristen sent me the text saying, in the restaurant, and I'm like, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, then I called you on the phone. I'm like, dude, I could have swore you said Jalisco's.
I don't ever eat at Jalisco's. I like you guys. I wouldn't send you there.
Dude, Kristen said, because Kristen's got, she could hear. She could hear a damn mouse
fart. No, I
said
go to Aranda's because it's on the way to my house.
All right.
Yeah.
But anyways, but I couldn't get I couldn't get me a damn margarita. Had to settle for a couple of Tecates. It was all right.
Well, I like how we asked Ted restaurant does he recommend, and we go to one that you've never been to.
No, it's not that I hadn't been there. I just don't pay attention to when they're open and closed. Yeah.
I'll tell you what, we came down to this sleepy little town of Rockport to take care of some business. Dude, this is a cool town. It's so laid back, and just the vibe is so chill. But like you were saying, because you just kind of detach from everything, because we're always asking about it. Every time I get up, as soon as I get up, I'm already up, I'm bringing up Kristen her cup of coffee in the bed, and first thing on at our house is the news. And then, of course, all the damn news shows at night. So, I don't try to watch all the news. I just seem like I know about everything that's going on all four corners of the earth. Because Miss Austin over here has got to have the skinny on everything. How come we always got to listen to news? Can't we ever watch anything I want to watch other than the UFC once a month when they have a pay-per-view, Kristen?
We watch The Bachelorette.
You know what? That's another thing. I'm going to start doing a Bachelorette update. Well, hell, they're over. Right? Isn't it over? It's a hometown date. I'll tell you what, next week, tonight, we're recording it. Okay, so we're flying home tomorrow back to Los Angeles. You know what I'm going to start doing? Because I'm such a big, macho, tough guy, I'm going to start giving you guys a Bachelorette update. And then when The Bachelor comes on, I'll start updating you on that, too. That's going to expand my range as a human being and up the dynamic entertainment factor of the Steve Austin Show. Okay, enough about that bullshit. Leave that one in, Stacy. That one's on to his house. Let's go back to a couple of Q&As here, Teddy. I got to haul ass back to San Antonio, and where we'll eat tonight? You want to eat Mexican food again? Somewhere good? Okay. long as they can walk in looking like a bum, wearing shorts and flip flops, we will eat good.
We'll ask Teddy what he recommends.
Yeah,
yeah. Find a Jalisco's in San Antonio.
My ID address.
Maybe
my idea of dressing up is wearing flip-flops, a pair of camouflage shorts, a black T-shirt, and a nice watch. All right, Teddy, this question is kind of goes back to the rats a little bit. I kind of went a little bit too far with those a while ago. But if you had to choose a tag team partner to help you in a handicap match against those PED-taking rats, who would it be and why? Keep up the awesome work, and that's coming from Rob. So if I had to pick a tag team partner, that's easy. There's one man comes to mind. His name is Ming. People also know him as Haku. Haku is of Tongan descent. Some people think he's Samoan, but he's Tongan. And everybody knows, anybody in the business, when you ask who the toughest sumbuck was in a squared circle in a worked environment, but it was the real deal when it came down to it, everybody to a man will say that Ming or Haku was the man. And that, don't get me wrong, there's been some total badasses in the history of pro wrestling. Give respect to all of them. But if I had to go down there and do battle with them rats and they gas to the gills, I got to call in the wolf. And I'm calling in Ming / Haku. All right, moving on here. Hypothetically, if you were to ever return to the ring, would you travel around town to town in a pimped out RV, much like the buses Randy Orton and Big Show travel in, or stick to the tradition plane and rent a car? Matt. Well, you know, Matt, John Cena's also using one of them buses. Triple H is also using one of those buses. Now, I wish I would have stuck around just a little bit longer so I could have got into the bus routine as well, because it seemed like it would have been a real fun gig, because y'all know me, I like to RV anyway. Now, these guys ain't just going up down the road in a little rinky-dink RV like I am, but mine sits in storage for 330 days a year. These guys are out there leasing these million-dollar buses, Prevos, and they're bad to the gills. So as much as I love camping, I'd have probably – they all got drivers. I'd probably have to just drive mine by myself. Teddy, check this out. You play softball. You're on the circuit on a traveling softball team. You play the hot corner, third base. You play first base, and you pitch and catch. Out on the road, when you guys are hauling ass to your softball games, y'all a couple of them in a truck, or you travel by yourself, because y'all go to Houston, San Antonio, you're making some close to 200-mile drives.
Correct.
So y'all loading up in cars?
Those guys do. I always drive by myself. I don't want to have to talk to anybody, so I take my own vehicle.
Well, if you don't want to talk, I guess. Okay. Well, I want to thank Ted Fowler for joining me on the show here today.
Wish he could stay longer.
But dig this. So if you had a chance right now, you could load up and have a driver take you down in the Prevost and had air conditioning blasting, DVD player, and a place to lay down.
Oh, you bet.
Wouldn't it be cool to take a tour bus?
Yeah, I'd
if you could ride it off?
You betcha.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, man, I dig those guys doing what they're doing. Cena, Triple H, Orton, Big Show, they're working their asses off for it. It's an investment in taking care of the body. I know Undertaker did it for a long time, and he credited it with extending and prolonging his career because he could take care of his body. These guys are beating their bodies up so much. I would have certainly have liked to had my run in the tour bus as well, but it was what it was, and I had a blast running up and down with a bunch of damn idiots in a car, learning about the business, telling stories about psychology and the mechanics and how you do this, when, why, and what for, and all the other reasons. But, you know, to a point, like Ted Fowler says, he's a loner. When I started making money and didn't need the guys in the car with me, I started traveling by myself too, just like to do my thing. All right, that's enough of the Q&A. Let's move on to some Uber facts. For you people to send in questions to questionsstevehoffshow.com, thank you very much. Can't use all of your questions. I'm going to send you some personal emails to the ones that I'll answer on my email, but I appreciate you guys taking the time to help a brother out. I had to come down here to Texas on a little bit of an, I won't call it an emergency trip, but a trip that I must take, and caught me totally off guard with regards to tossing you guys out a can of audio whoop ass to listen to. So, hey, show's a little bit of a cluster, but I appreciate your questions and helping a brother out when he needs help. Hey, speaking of a brother needing help, before I get to the Uber facts, don't forget Broken Skull Challenge, Sundays, 8 p.m. Eastern. Set your DVRs. Sure would appreciate it to help a brother out. I tell you what, Teddy, I'm sweating my ass off here in your house. When you was gone, I turned your thermostat down to 73, but I think it's the humidity in the air. I was born and raised, you know, down in Austin, and I grew up about 150 miles from here, so I'm used to the Texas heat and a little bit of humidity, but I turned into such a damn sissy out there in Los Angeles. This damn weather's kicking my ass.
It's real humid because, I mean, we're only, a mile from the ocean?
Yeah.
Mile that way, so because I'm on a peninsula, so I get water all the way around. But the humidity, yep.
Hey, Teddy, you've been out there hunting at the Broken Skull Ranch for 7 or 8 years now. How often you get out there in the bays and go fishing? Are you a fishing guy? You go floundering?
I like to flounder. That's fun.
I like flounder, too.
Yeah.
I've never been in a boat. We grew up old school. We just walk with a Coleman lantern with a leader tied to it so it shone down in the mm-hmm. water, had the full backing on it, old school, walking there, just scooting our feet with a stringer hanging from my waist and a gigging flounders. Are you a boat guy or a walking guy?
No, we go on a boat. We go on a boat,
Dude, that don't take the fun out of it?
No, it's a lot easier to drink. Yeah.
I'll tell you one damn time, true story. Here's the thing about floundering. When you do it manually and you do it on foot, for the most part, you're walking in water that's really no more than about 3 foot deep.
If that.
Yeah. If that. And because that 3 foot would be actually kind of deep. But anyway, for the most part, you can see the surface, the sandy. Sometimes you're getting a little bit of a grass area. But anyway, a stringer is basically just a piece of string with a cork on the end and a piece of metal on the front. And if you hook a flounder, if you gig a flounder, you run that through his mouth and put him on your stringer so you can drag him with you. Well, one time I was out there, and I had a stringer full of flounder, Teddy. There's probably about 4 flounders. Then I had a 12 pack of Bud Light. And I was in about, I don't know, probably 2.5 or so foot of water. And a 20 foot great white shark come by me and snapped up my flounder. And I said, holy hell, a 20 foot great white shark took my flounder. And I'd been madder than a hornet if he'd have took my beer. And this is a true story. I said, to hell with it. I'm going to keep floundering. I didn't have a stringer. I figured I'd just try to catch one or two more and take them back to the shore. I walked about another 50 yards. True story. Swear to God. 25-foot great white shark come up and snapped up my 12-pack of Bud Light. I'd already drinking about 4 of them. There was 8 beers in there. Swallowed the cooler whole. Well, I can't help the fact that a guy got attacked in Southern California by a great white. I'm telling you my great white story. And some bitch stole 4 flounders from me and 8 beers. And you're going to talk about a guy in Southern California. It's a true story. Teddy, 20-foot great white got my flounder. 25-foot shark got my damn 8 Bud Lights in my cooler. And I was mad and horned about the cooler because it was a Broken Skull Ranch special. What are your thoughts on that?
That's why I'm in a boat. Safety first.
Well, see if those sharks would have come by, you'd have said, we're going to need a big boat. Like in Jaws.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, segueing out of that. That's the truth. And if anybody doubts that story, it's true.
Moment of silence for the beer.
You know what? I drank 2 Tecates a while ago while I was eating Mexican food. And, man, I've been on such an IPA kick. It was hard drinking that damn. And Tecate makes pretty good beer. Mm-hmm. So I'm not running their beer down. But, man, once you've been on that IPA, the stuff's a little bit rough. And then last night, we had a little business meeting, and I was drinking Fat Tires. And you drank one with us when you came over and
Correct.
Ate some dinner.
Correct.
That beer's okay. I'm not going to run it down. It's good beer if that's what your flavor is. But, man, I've been on such an IPA kick. Man, it's hard to find one here in Rockport.
Open the refrigerator door.
Nah, you ain't going to get hot about it. But where'd you find those?
H-E-B.
See, H-E-B. Hey, if you guys out there listening to the show and you're down here in South Texas, you've been wondering about where to try to find a Sierra Nevada torpedo that I speak so much about, go to H-E-B and pick you up a 12-pack. You'll be glad you did. Hey, let's move it on. Shift gears. Go into some Uber facts. Here we go, Teddy. You ready to comment on these things that I'm about to read to you? You ready?
Yes.
All right. Now you feel like talking? I mean, you're such a
yeah,
loner. You
no, we're good.
Sit in your truck out
we're
there
good.
While I do the show?
We're good. Yeah, can I call in my answers?
Hey, you know what? Do that. Well, Skype. Teddy, studies show that men who have sex 4 to 5 times a week have a 45% lower chance of developing the kidney stones. Studies show that men that have sex 4 to 5 times a week have 45% lower chance of developing kidney stone. Now, this is a sensitive subject because my wife is about 15 feet away.
Right, right.
But I think I'm feeling a kidney stone right now. Back here in my lower back. Kristen, honey, if you love me, we got to start working on my kidney stones.
You're killing me.
Anyway, that's what studies show.
That's what
Uberfacts has got to be true.
It's got to be, yeah, yeah.
But I had some people send in some email stuff to me and said that the Uber was not true, but that sounds true to me, Teddy. Your thoughts? I mean, no, you're a lot of things, Teddy, but you ain't a doctor.
No.
But if you was, no, you're a working man. Do you think that a man having sex 4 or 5 times a week has a 45% lower chance of developing a kidney stone?
Yeah, I think the more you use your junk, the healthier the whole apparatus stays.
Yeah, and you got to think, but the kidney, the processing the blood and the purifying and clearing everything out, well, no, it's the liver.
They're all interconnected.
But that's urinary tract, so, yeah.
They must have done a study if they said 45%. Sounds good.
Sounds good. Okay. Honey, got to work on my... I got about a 3-pound kidney stone. I need to start working on it. All right, shifting gears. BMW had to recall their original GPS system because male German drivers were refusing to take directions from a female voice. I had a car one time where you could change the voice. If you didn't want to listen to the chick hollering at you, you could yell to the guy hollering at you. I just figured I'd just soon let the chick holler at me because I'm used to Kristen yelling at me all the time. So why would I want some dude in my car yelling at me?
Exactly.
I was yelling at you yesterday when we got lost. We had to call Teddy.
Oh, it was ridiculous.
Yeah, but I didn't yell at him. I calmly told you where to go. But
here's the thing. Teddy, I know when we hung up and you give me directions that Ray Charles could have followed those directions. With all due respect to the one and only great Ray Charles, you're thinking you had to do the old SMH, shake my head. Man, that's one dumb mother sucker. He can't even find a way to Rockport, a town of 8,000 people, got lost, and he's calling me for directions. I was madder than a hornet because I was in one of those modes, got on the airplane. I got up at 5 a.m., didn't want to come to Texas anyway, but forced to, had about 3 vodka and oranges before I got on the airplane and went to sleep. Woke up, got my bags. Of course, the alcohol was gone out of my system. Safe driver. Grabbed a 12-ounce Diet Red Bull. I was walking through the airport. Someone told me, Steve, you know those Diet Red Bulls are bad for you. Ted, you had someone tell you something about a Red Bull, too.
Correct.
Are they going to kill you?
Man, it's not that it's going to kill me. It's that it makes me go too fast-paced.
Now, how amped up can a damn Red Bull make you?
Around here, if you blink too often, you're on. You know what I mean? Yeah. You're going too fast for these people.
Right.
Yeah, no, I'm a firm believer in those Red Bulls.
I'll tell you what, if a damn Red Bull is the thing that ends up ending the life of Steve Austin, then so be it.
Yeah.
God dang, with everything else that I've done to myself, if I get killed by a sissy-ass Diet Red Bull, then so be it. I wasn't the toughest SOB in the history of the WWF, and that's the bottom line because I said so. So, Teddy, back to the task at hand. The Uber facts, the guys not wanting the guy to yell at them on the GPS system, they recalled this system. So, if your choice, you got your old truck out there, if you got a chick yelling at you or a guy, who are you going to yell?
I'd rather have a chick yelling at me.
Why? Is that sexist?
Man, if you get upset and reply, you know, as you could on the Unleashed show. Yeah, it'd sound better to, you know, get in an argument with a girl. That's more natural than getting in an argument with a guy.
Hey, check us out. Let's shift gears on that one. We're beating a dead horse here. Teddy, you're a Facebook guy. Do y'all hear those wind chimes in the background?
Yes, sir.
Man, I started hearing them things a while ago, and my left ear is ringing uncontrollably. I don't know what the hell's wrong with it. I keep raising up my hand like I'm getting my hearing checked. All of a sudden, I'm looking. I think the ice cream truck's about to roll up in this sumbitch. It's the damn chimes out there.
Yeah.
You dig the
chimes?
Yeah,
I'm big on those wind chimes.
Yeah, they cool you down when you're drinking your Red Bull.
Oh, yeah.
Get you that kind of sit out there.
Yeah, sit out there, you know, heart going a mile a minute, listen to the wind chimes. Beautiful.
I tell you what, any single women in the South Texas area, Ted Fowler single, I'm going to drop his address at the end of the show when I do my match of the week. Let's move on, Teddy. Teddy, you do Facebook.
Yes.
You got a badass crib here that you built with your own two hands, and you got your office in there, and you're like an organizational freak. Ted keeps a spick and span house. It's highly organized. You got your computer over there. So, Teddy, my point is, heavy Facebook use has been known to cause anxiety, depression, narcissism, sleeping problems, and even stomach aches. Have you been experiencing any of these symptoms?
No. I don't get on it that often.
Really?
Yeah. No, you hamstrung me last time we talked about this because I got a bunch of friend requests from, once again, guys. Remember
what's
I said,
wait, what's wrong with having guy friends?
I play softball with guy friends. I don't need to be friends with them on Facebook. I'm friends with girls on Facebook.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Hello.
Ted trying to get hooked up on Facebook. Swig of water for the man trying to get laid.
You got to cast your bread upon the water.
It is what it is. Ted said that the Facebook has not been caused him any anxiety, depression, narcissism, sleeping problems, or stomach aches. But when I showed up, he had all those symptoms.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Teddy, get this. Now, I know you're a big SpongeBob SquarePants fan. Within 10 years of it being launched, the SpongeBob SquarePants franchise was worth over $8 billion.
All I know about that, it's some kid's show. I've never seen.
Although, like a doll. Kristen, you're the
cartoon.
Yeah. Now, first of all, my wife is really smart, and she's got a couple of degrees, and she's just a really smart human being. So we're going to defer to her as being the smartest person in the room. If she wasn't here, it's really me and Ted flipping a quarter to see who's the smartest. So Kristen, tell me about the SpongeBob SquarePants franchise. What exactly is it? A cartoon, or is it like a little doll?
It's an animated cartoon show.
That's all it is?
Yeah, and they sell products, they have games, they have t-shirts, they have everything.
They got t-shirts, it's a game, it's a damn series on TV. Why did I think of something stupid like that?
Dude, I don't know. I don't watch that garbage.
It's garbage, Teddy, but it's worth $8 billion worth. Moving on. Damn it, Ted. Really?
Yeah.
A marine biologist started SpongeBob SquarePants.
Yeah.
You heard it here first, folks. It's the kind of stuff that you learn listening to my show. Dig this, Teddy. You're a big music fan. Listening to music for an hour each day can help reduce chronic pain by 21% and depression by up to 25%.
Can help reduce or produce?
It can help reduce.
Reduce,
chronic
pain.
No. Let's talk about some chronic pain because I've had some hellacious injuries suffered in the square circle back in the day. I don't give a rat's ass what kind of music I turned on, whether it was the Carpenters or Captain and Tennille or Metallica, Meshuggah, Rainbow, Dio, anybody. Michael Taylor. God dang, Teddy, when I'm hurt, I'm hurt. Now, you want me to listen to a little bit of Captain and Tennille after dropping a couple of Vicodin? Whole different ballgame. But just listen to a little bit of music in and of itself ain't going to get me out of no pain. Now, Teddy, recently, about a year ago, you almost cut off two fingers with a table saw. So you went to the hospital. What, they stitched one of them back on?
Yeah,
two of them?
Both of them, yeah.
Okay, so what'd you do? Just turn on some music, start feeling better? You hit that doctor up for some Percocets?
No, they jacked that thing full of juice and gave me a handful of pills, and we were good.
Okay, so did you come home and listen to music to make it 21% less?
No, not until I woke up the next morning. I, had me a little mixy, and which I probably shouldn't have. But
so now I can see the music helping depression by 25%.
Sure.
That can take you out of the doldrums just with the energy and the adrenaline and the beats and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So I can dig that. But I don't know about the chronic pain thing.
No, I don't buy into that.
Yeah. Teddy, get this. A 27-year-old woman tried to smuggle 54 small bags of heroin into jail by hiding them in her vagina back in 2011. A 27-year-old woman tried to smuggle 54 small bags of heroin into jail by hiding them in her vagina back in 2011. That's a lot of damn heroin bags.
Yeah. Yeah, well, yeah. I'm afraid to comment. Yeah.
And with that being said, we move along to the next one. Teddy, humor and laughter are two of the fastest ways to get rid of stress and pain.
I agree. It
stands to reason,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, a little laugh, shuck and jive.
Yeah.
A little hullabaloo. And
it's hard
have
to be
a good time.
Hard to be upset when you're laughing.
Yeah, I mean, times are tough and hard paying them gimmicks they send in the mail called bills, and maybe, you know, you stumped your toe. You know, get somebody to come over and laugh and joke. Tape a Steve Austin show, feel a lot better about yourself. let me don't go there. I'll tell you what. Let's move right along. Teddy, this is an interesting one that will really interest you. Before the young boys of the Etoro tribe of Papua New Guinea can be called adults, they must consume the semen of their elders.
Mm. That's out.
I'd be like 86 years old, they'd still be calling me a young boy.
Junior.
Junior, come over here. Why y'all call him Junior? He's 86 years old. Oh, it's a long story. Teddy, you think that's true or false?
Yeah.
What kind of rite of passage is consuming the semen of an elder?
God, I don't know. I mean, isn't it bad enough they, you know, cut off the tip of your pecker? I mean, can't they do something like that instead?
Well, I mean, at least it's not consuming the semen of the juniors. Hello. Moving right along. Well, no, we haven't cussed. I mean, I dropped a couple of S-bombs, but it's okay. Hey, Teddy, moving on. That was a sensitive subject. And if I offended anybody in any way, in any part of the universe, I apologize.
Go listen to some music.
Yeah. Stay away from them elders. Teddy, teens say social media makes them more aware of what's going on in the world than their parents do.
I agree.
I'll tell you what, there's a damn disconnect out there. Kristen, you got to jump in on this one. You've got a niece out there and pretty active in the social media. Do you think that the social media is making her more aware of what's going on in the world than her parents?
It depends on what you mean by aware. Aware.
Yeah, what Kim Kardashian's
wearing. See, that's
the
thing about talking to my wife. She's so smart. She's never taken note. Okay, I'll bring you back in on a simple question. She's so far off as you can't understand her, but anyway, she's very smart. Check this one out. The average American loses about 393 hours of sleep every year. In the last week, Teddy, I've lost about 40. I ain't been getting enough sleep. The average American loses about 393 hours of sleep every year. Hell, I went to go get my sleeping pills the other day. The bill was $300-something. I can't sleep when I pay for the damn sleeping pills. So that first night, I'm tossing and turning. And, of course, as thrifty as Kristen is, anytime we go to Gelson's to get our groceries, she's got a $5 coupon. She ain't been able to rustle me up a coupon for my damn sleeping pills. And when I switched over to generic, Ted, you're almost the same age as me. You remember back in the day when you went and got generic, whatever it was, whether it was Vicodin or a sleeping pill or whatever, when you got generic back in the day, it was about a third of the cost.
Oh, absolutely.
These days, when you go get a generic, it ain't but a frog hair less.
Yeah.
There's not that big discrepancy that there used to be. So I feel like I'm being ripped off when I buy generic drugs these days, and I'm sick of it. The pharmacies and the doctors in the system trying to keep a man down, trying not to let me sleep. I'm just kidding you. Cut a little promo. Teddy looking at me like I'm crazy. He gave me an Alpha Brain and a Diet Red Bull. I ain't had an Alpha Brain in about 3 months, and so like my brain is churning. Now, it's only churning bullshit, but it's still churning. So anyway, Teddy, moving on. Lack of sleep can age a man's sex life by 10 to 15 years. So if you got an average American losing 393 hours of sleep every year, half of them are guys, and then a lack of sleep that can age a man's sex life by 10 to 15 years. And then the thing about the kidneys, Kristen, this is pointing to we need to increase our sex life if I'm going to try to stay alive and be happy. Because I'm always worried about this. See, I think like this, Teddy. You're right behind me in age. I'm 49. So I think, you know, when I'm like 69, 79, you know, am I going to want to get laid as much as I still want to get laid right now? Because I'm a pretty active cat. Do you ever think about that? My point is, I try to get as much as I can when I can. Question, any comments?
Here.
But you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Guys are horny.
Yeah. Oh, I don't pass any up when it comes by, that's for sure. You heard it here. I ain't shy about it.
That's what I like about Ted. Straight as an arrow, loner, likes to get laid, and likes to hunt. My kind of guy. Hey, Teddy, check it out. A microwave uses more electricity to power its clock than it does to heat your food. So check it out, Teddy. I got clocks all over my house. I collect neon clocks. I got a watch on my wrist. There's a clock on my iPhone. Because I'm so damn cheap and miserly, what I'm going to do, I want to disassemble my microwave. And if it's using all the electricity to power the clock, I don't need that clock. I know what time it is. I'll snip the wires and save money. Smart, not smart? Comments? Anything?
You could put it in your motorhome. Sounds like it's pretty hot in there.
Dude, right now I'm looking at your clock over there. It's 3:55.
Yeah.
You know how much that digital clock right there is eating away at your power bill.
What it cost me to have you see it's 3:55?
Well, dude, I mean, when I came in, you had your air conditioner set on 96.
You don't ever hear.
Well, I know, but it's on 96, and you knew that I was coming by. You should have turned it down to 73. Teddy, let's move along. We're wrapping this whole shenanigan up. I got to drive back to San Antonio, Texas to catch my flight. I've got to email this show. I've got to drop my match of the week. Couple more, Teddy. Did you know that Taco Bell started off as a hot dog stand?
No. I love them now, though.
I love me some Taco Bell. Been a long time, so don't get me wrong. Back in the day, I used to roll into a Taco Bell with a little bit of a buzz and drop, I swear to God, $25, $30 on a to-go order.
No, either that or
soft tacos and a couple of big old burritos.
What about Jack in the Box? So two tacos for 99? Hello.
Dude, forget about it. And and you talk about it, and it's still dropping 20, 25.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, and the thing about it is when you get that the munchy buzz, when you go get that $20, $25 worth, you got to eat it all.
Oh, yeah.
And you might save one or two for late, you know, when you wake up in the middle of the night, but you can't let that stuff go to waste. It's all about consuming that food.
Correct.
I don't like to waste no money. Teddy, tragic story going on here. The owner of the company that makes the Segway, you know the Segway?
Yeah, that little
the gimmick you stand ride. On and wheel you around?
Correct.
The owner of the company that makes Segways died in 2010 after driving his Segway off a cliff. Moment of silence for the Segway creator. Okay, Teddy, coming back in with this heartbreaking story. That's terrible. What did he try to drive the Segway off the cliff? Did it not stop? Did the brakes fail? How did this happen? Was it intentional?
May have been testing out a new prototype or something. Who knows?
Could have been. So certainly nothing to laugh about here, folks. And always tough to segue out of a story about a guy driving a Segway off a cliff. Hey, Teddy, check this out. And we might use this down at the Broken Skull Ranch. Now, this is talking about crocodiles, and we got alligators down there. But the only way to escape the jaws of a crocodile is to poke it in the eye.
I had heard that. You know, that's...
Yeah.
I think the same thing with a shark attack. You're supposed to, you know, jab him in the eye or something. I don't know if I would be thinking that clear.
Yeah.
You know, if one of those guys grabbed a hold of me.
Yeah. I mean, I figured that, you know, one time... It's a true story. I was floundering, and I was in about 2 foot of water. And it was right on the banks of the Nile River, and about a 30-foot crocodile came up to me and bit me on my leg and started going into a death roll. And so there I was, spinning around like a rotisserie chicken in the jaws of that crocodile. And I tried to poke him in his eyes, but he closed them. Yep. Teddy, held up his... What do you call that?
The old Three Stooges, baby.
The old Three Stooges eye blocker. It's kind of a visual joke. You can't hear it on the podcast. But anyway, so there I am, spinning around like a rotisserie chicken. Chris is trying to get me to move on, but I'm not. Oh, yeah. So I just grabbed him by his nose and started pulling upward to remove my leg. And then as I was trying to pull his nose upward and open his jaws, I lost traction. He snapped back closed. My leg was still trapped in there. He started spinning like a rotisserie chicken again. I was going nowhere fast. I was on the brink of death, thinking, what do I do now? What do I do now? So, Teddy, what do you think I did?
Take an alpha brain.
You're right. I took an hour for bread. All of a sudden, I started thinking. I said, hell, that's what I need to do. Wham! Rang him up on that stack of dimes he caught a neck, hit his ass with a stunner, and swam back to shore. And that's why I'm sitting here talking to you on the Steve Austin Show podcast right now. Alpha Brain, Stone Cold Stunner, rang his ass up. And just to rub a little insult to injury on his sorry ass, pinned him for a three count, counted it myself, swam back to shore. Swig of water for the crocodile killing man. Teddy, we got a couple more to go here. Here's one. A whale's vomit is worth about $5,000 a pound. A whale's vomit is worth about $5,000 a pound.
What would you do with it?
Well, I mean, you're going to sell it somewhere. The thing about it is, last time I tried to collect some whale vomit, I took a bunch of beer and I was swimming out in the ocean. I found a big blue whale. We was hanging out drinking, but I never could outdrink him enough to make him throw up to collect the vomit. So I can't say that I've ever sold any vomit for $5,000 a pound. Have you?
No, I've never bought any either.
Yeah, and I forbid myself to go out drinking with a sperm whale just by the fact that homie don't play that. Let's move on, Teddy. Teddy, dig this. You got any phobias? Are you claustrophobic, got arachnophobia? I know you're afraid of the dark, but any other phobias?
Spiders and bugs. And
okay, so you're kind
like
of
that.
Arachnophobia.
Yeah.
But did you know that a phobophobia is the fear of having a phobia?
No.
Could you believe that there's someone so stupid they're sitting in their house and their fear of having a phobia. So they got phobophobia. And to even discuss that anymore would be dumbophobia. So we're going to move on. I'm going to tell you this last one right here. Teddy, smoking one cigarette takes about 11 minutes off of your lifespan.
I thought it was 7, too.
Okay, smoking one cigarette takes about 11 minutes of your lifespan. Some people have heard 7. There's a couple of people I'd like to buy a pack of cigarettes. Hey. All right, everybody, here it is. This is where we ride off into the sunset. And when I say ride off into the sunset, that's exactly what I'm fixing to do. My wife and I are fixing to toss our bags in the car and haul ass to San Antonio. We're leaving Ted Fowler here in Rockport. It's been a great visit. I want to say thank you to Ted for helping me out with the show. I was in a bind and needed to deliver a can of audio whoop-ass for you guys to open. I want to thank you for sending in your questions to questions@steveaustinshow.com. Hope the show was good enough for you today. I tell you what, it come under short notice this trip, but I had to come down here and take care of biznatch, and it is what it is. With that being said, we've got some great guests coming up in the future. It starts part one of my sit-down conversation with Tommy Dreamer, the hardcore legend, now running his promotions, House of Hardcore, up there in the eastern part of the United States in the New York area. Anyway, Tommy Dreamer comes on this Thursday on the Steve Austin Show Unleashed. I met up with him in New York City last week, and we talked for a couple hours about everything under the sun in my little bitty hotel room where I had my recording equipment perched on a windowsill as we overlooked the theater district of New York City, and I drank beer, and he sat there and answered questions and had a good time talking. Anyway, do not miss Tommy Dreamer coming this Thursday to Steve Austin's Show Unleashed. Hey, before I move on and close this show up, I want to give you guys this week's pick for match of the week. And we're going to go back to the year 1983. What you've got to do, go to YouTube. On the search bar, type in Jerry Lawler versus Bill Dundee. Loser Leaves Town, 1983. Jerry Lawler, V.S. period. Bill Dundee, Loser Leaves Town, 1983. You'll notice that two matches are going to come up. They're both 8 minutes and 33 seconds. One of them is the first half of the match. The other is the second half of the match. Make sure you catch the beginning of the match so you don't watch the match out of sequence. I think it's the bottom match that actually is the first match that you should watch. Anyway, a lot at stake here, obviously. Lawler and Bill Dundee always seem to have a hellacious feud. Great chemistry in the ring. Both guys could work their asses off. Both guys were A-plus promos. And it was just made for a hell of an intriguing storyline when those two got with it. and this Loser Leaves Town match, I won't tell you the finish if you haven't seen it. It's a doozy. Pay attention in particular to the enormous importance of this match, as it was a Loser Leaves Town. So a lot was on the line. They start off with great intensity, but they never rush anything. The work is premier. It's a tremendous story. And in particular, again, pay attention to the quality of working punches in this match. Two guys, Jerry Lawler and Bill Dundee, with some of the best working punches in the history of the business. And one time when Dundee's really got Lawler going outside on the floor by the turnbuckle, and he's just waylaying him with rights and lefts, and everything looks like it really connects. And there's also some just straight dead-on nose shots that these guys are pulling off on each other. But it's one of my favorite matches of all time. I think you'll enjoy it. Great work by two of the greatest of all time. And on a history note, I remember back in my USWA days, Jerry Lawler had the book, and I worked three matches with Lawler. So it was a great time being in the ring with the King because I'm such a fan. I actually got to work a whole bunch with Bill Dundee, and he's another guy that I have to credit with a lot of my mechanics and psychology in the ring, because I got a chance to work so much with the one and only superstar Bill Dundee. He taught me a lot, and a guy that his size and weight, he wasn't a very big guy, to get over like he did shows the kind of fire he had as a babyface and the kind of mean streak he had as a heel. Two qualities that you really can't teach someone. You got to be born with them. He had it in spades both ways. Loved working with superstar Bill Dundee. Check out that match. And with that being said, it's time for me to bring this show to a close. I actually had recorded this close earlier, but I lost the damn chip in Ted Fowler's house. So I want to say thank you for chipping in your questions. I want to say thank you for hitting the download button. If you like what you hear on the show, tell some friends about it. And make sure they know that we got two shows, Family Friendly on Tuesdays. It's for the whole family. On Thursdays, I let it all fly. It's unleashed. And tell them to subscribe to both shows because it's two separate feeds.
This has been a Podcast One production. Download new episodes of The Steve Austin Show every Tuesday at PodcastOne.com. That's PodcastOne.com.
All this month, stream the funniest films for free on Pluto TV. Watch comedy classics like Anchorman, The Legend of Ron Burgundy, and Mean Girls. Or drop in for a Tyler Perry marathon with a Madea family funeral and Madea's witness protection. Pluto TV also has hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and TV shows like Get Shorty, Be Cool, Key and Peele, Comedy in Color, and more. And no contracts, no subscriptions, no fees, no joke. So download the Pluto TV app on your favorite streaming device and start laughing today. Pluto TV, drop in, watch free.
Hey guys, Jay Cutler. Started a new podcast called Uncut with Jay Cutler. Most of you know me from the NFL, some of you have seen me on Instagram, and some of you know me from the reality TV world. Each week I'm taking you along with me as we discuss football, trending topics, and whatever's going on in my life each week. I'm bringing along people that are special in my life, former teammates, friends, and some new people that I like and respect. That's what you're supposed to do, right? Podcasting? I think I'm doing this right. Can't wait to get started with you. Go subscribe now. Uncut with Jay Cutler. Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yo, what's good? It's your boy, Big Brother Jake, a.k.a. Jake Warner.
My government name.
Check it out. I host a show called the Big Brother Jake Podcast. And I've taken my talents to the biggest and baddest platform on the planet. That's right, baby. Podcast One. My show is unique as I talk about everything. Life, sports, entertainment, being a single dad juggling several jobs. I'm a hot mess, but it's damn entertaining. Subscribe and review now on Apple Podcasts and listen on Podcast One or wherever you get your podcasts.